Tonight I want to speak to you just for a few moments as we go through the month of August. I believe last year when we talked about this particular month, a passion for thee and training new laborers, developing laborers. Now, every saint ought to be a servant. Every member ought to be a minister, all of us. And the strength of any church rests heavily upon the involvement of his people. You need a good church, and your church needs a good you. That's just the way it is. We all need church, and church needs us. And healthy churches are that way. But healthy churches are people that get involved together. And as I thought about that on this first Sunday night, I want to speak to you about what I believe to be probably the number one quality that sets a true servant of Christ apart, and that's love. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse number 35, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." I think we all know we're supposed to love. God is love. There's a lot of things that God could define himself in, but he does say he's holy, he loves. And you and I, as children of God, ought to be loving people. Years ago, I was sitting in Long Beach, California, whenever I started thinking about what does love look like. We know what the Bible says, and we'll look at these verses real quickly again. But what is it? What does love do? How do I demonstrate love to somebody? And the Lord gave me, I believe, an acrostic, L-O-V-E. What does love do? What does L stand for? What does O stand for? What does V stand for? What does E stand for? In practically developing love. Now, I think whenever we come together in a room like this, as a pastor, I have three goals. Number one, I don't want to forget to exalt the person of Jesus. Because the church is not about me and it's not about you. It's not about what I like. It's about the person of Christ. And so we want to think about Jesus. And one of my jobs is to help bring that to focus. If I don't think about him, you're not going to probably think about him as a general whole. So we want to exalt God's Son. Number two, we want to hear God's Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith is impossible to please him. One of the things we want in this ministry, and what I want in my life, and you want in your life, is you want a life of faith. I'll remember listening to Clarence Sexton on our third floor of this building say in a meeting one time, he said this, he told a story of him riding with Lee Robertson. He was in his late 90s, and Lee Robertson was having a problem driving. And his kid said, "Dad, you're going to kill someone. We need to take your car and your keys." And he was furious. He had been independent. He had pastored a church. He had driven everywhere he goes. He rarely flew in an airplane. He always learned to drive places. And now he doesn't have the keys to his car and doesn't have his car anymore. His kids took it away from him against his desires. And he was mad. And his kids called Brother Sexton. They said, "Brother Sexton, he loves you like a son. He's furious with us, but he's going to kill somebody. He's bumping into everything, and he can't see good." And he said, "Would you just come and pick him up and take him to Powell and take him from Chattanooga to Powell over the weekend, spend some time with him and help him over this little hurdle?" And so he picked him up. And Brother Sexton tells the story how he was standing out in front of his little home there, and he had a suitcase on one side and a briefcase on the other, and there he stood with his double-breasted blue suit. And his face was red, and he pulled up there, and he said, "Hey, but Dr. Robertson," he said, "oh, I'm mad." And he said, "Well, let me just put the stuff in there." He put the stuff in the back, and he sat in the driver's seat, and he talked about several things. And finally, he kind of calmed down on the trip. But Brother Robertson was looking out the window, and this is what really grabbed my heart. He said, "Clarence, I wish I would have had more faith in God when I served him, and I had more strength. I wish I would have trusted God more. I wish I had more faith in God." And then Brother Sexton, probably just to comfort him, said, "Hey, Brother Robertson, you pastored one of the largest Sunday schools in the world. Highland Park Baptist Church was a phenomenal work. And you started Camp Joy and Tennessee Temple University. And the BIMI was birthed out of there in many chapels. And he said, Clarence, don't humor me. I wish I would have had more faith in God. If I would have trusted God more, he would have done more. You know, think about that. All of us, you want to live a life of faith. A life that only God could explain. I am so sick of seeing what I can do. What I can do in my own abilities. There's you can give more aggressively. You can love more deeply. You can serve more faithfully whenever you have faith. A.W. Tozer said the most important thing about a person is what comes to their mind when they think about God. When they think about what God is trying to accomplish. How is he strong? Can I trust him? Does he love me? Is he worthy of my confidence? This is a battle that all of us face. And oftentimes we live such low lives because we do not trust God. We don't trust God with how many kids we're supposed to have and when they're supposed to come. We don't trust God with our future, with our finances. We have to know everything is going to happen. And we can do all of that stuff and you'll get the life that you design. But whenever we trust God, we get a life that only he could explain. And that's one of the things we want as a church and as you want as an individual. You want to make much of the Bible because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by? So when we come together, we want to, number one, exalt Jesus. Number two, exalt God's Son. Number two, hear God's Word. Number three, we want to feel and to spread the love of God, God's love. But we can't do that if we don't have it. And of course, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it comes between chapters 12 and 14. And really, it's the Apostle Paul correcting a carnal church. And it's all about who's in charge and who's doing that and who's getting a notoriety, who's getting the pat in the back, who's standing up and talking and giving prophecies and who's speaking in tongues and who's doing this. It's everything. It's very carnal. And the Apostle Paul begins with talking about the body, that God put the church together like he's put a body together. But the body is one, but it has many members. You got fingernails. You got eyelashes. We've got eyelids. They're just ounces on our in proportion to our body weight. And yet you need an eyelid to wash your eye, to protect your eye. It's small, but it's very important. Some of us, we have hands that only work if they're attached to the wrist. You have feet. We have eyes and ears and noses to smell. We have internal art organs that no one sees. No one sees the lungs. This week we have a beautiful example. And Brother Angel Cabrera, one of the finest men on the planet, needs a kidney. He's been in dialysis centers. They went by last week and they said goodbye, hoping not to ever go back to a dialysis center. Because Tuesday, Miss Danielle is a match for him and is willing to give one of her kidneys to him so that he can finish his days out as a husband and a father and eventually a grandfather and be able to be healthy and not have to go to dialysis center. But you know, the truth of the matter is I don't know what even a kidney looks like. You don't probably know what your kidney looks like, I don't think. If you do, you're weird. No one goes around and says, oh, my liver is more beautiful than your liver. No, or it's all covered up. But aren't you glad you don't have to talk to your liver every day and say, look, this is very important. You know, I'm going to drink this Coke, but you filter it, all right? And I'm going to take care of this. And you don't have to keep your heart beating at night. It's underneath skin. It's underneath the rib cage. And it just does. It's involuntary. But God puts the whole body together, but it functions. Your brain, your spinal cord. All those things. You're one body, but you have many members. And he said, that's how the church is. It's like that. But everybody has it. There's a mouth of the piece of the church. There's the ears of the church. There's hands of the church that give. There's feet that go. There's arms that lift. There's There is a organization that thinks through the church. There's lots of things that are covered up by skin that no one, they have no interest in ever getting behind a pulpit. But they'll be the lungs that keep on breathing. They'll be the liver that keeps on filtering. They'll be the heart that keeps on beating for the church family. Because you need your church and your church needs you. Everybody has a role to do. But it needs to be done with love. Love is we can't compromise that. That has got to be a part. It's kind of making biscuits without baking soda. It's just going to be flat. It's trying to run a smooth car without shocks. You got to have love. Love is the thing that negotiates it all. And he goes on to tell the church at Corinth, look. All right, I know about the tongues and I know about the prophecies, and of course those are other things I can explain to you later, but he says, look, I'm going to show you a more excellent gift. It's the gift you're missing, it's the gift of love, a more excellent way. And then he just goes on to tell them, look, it doesn't matter what you can say. Look at verse number 1 if you would please, and you'll see it. If you're going to have a permanent influence, you must have love. Read it with me if you would please. Though I speak with the tongues and of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He says, if you want to have any kind of permanent influence, you've got to have love. And by the way, where do we get love from? You get it at Costco? Sam's Club? No, you have to get it from the Lord. It's the first one out of the box with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a Spirit-filled life that generates love. Hey, just try to be a husband or a wife just for a few hours without the Spirit-filled life. And you know what? You're going to be a disaster. Try to be a good dad and a good mom without the Spirit-filled life. You'll be a disaster. Try to preach a message, teach a Sunday school class, sing in the choir, play an instrument, and have any permanent impact. Without love, and you're going to find, you're going to have a simple, you'll make a splash and that's it. You'll, like we've said before, is you'll hit the cymbals. Boom! They make a loud noise, and then 20 seconds later, you can't hear it again. It's just one big noise and nothing lasting. He said, that's what we do if we try to serve God without love. Now, verse number 2, he says, and though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have knowledge and have all knowledge that I have all faith, so I can remove mountains and have not charity. Love is not a part of the equation, not an ingredient in that thing. I am nothing. You have no personal significance, no permanent impact, no significance personally. He goes, you become like a zero with the ink rubbed out. You have no personal significance without love. You know the people who make the biggest impact in your life are people that have a deep capacity to love? People who love make an impact. People that don't love, doesn't matter how talented, how gifted they are, if they're selfish, they're nothing. Learning how to love is a big deal. Verse number 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I'm a giver. And though I give my body to be burned, that's pretty serious, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I have no eternal profitability. Now, there's one thing that your pastor has spoken about before, and if you have a brain in your head, you would like to listen to what Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures where? Heaven. You want eternal profitability. You know, you say, well, Pastor, I just hope I can retire and I can be a millionaire. You want to make sure that you have, you know, some people can make upwards of a million without taking any of it upwards. They don't take any of it into eternity. They're all caught up with what is now, what we can get now. And we've been duped. He said, but if you really want to make a profitable future, an internal impact and dividends, you better learn to love. And then he goes on to describe what love looks like. And I do believe with all my heart, you ought to invest in eternity. You're going to spend most of your time there. We got just a short few years here. And you need to make investment. Pastor is going to do all we can, and our staff will do all we can. And anybody who cares about your Sunday school teacher, youth leaders, all that, they're going to help you try to keep making investments. Why in the world would you give, and some of you give hundreds of dollars every week. A few give $1,000 every week. Some give $50 every week. Some you used to give $5 a week. Now you're giving $50 and $60 and $70 a week for missions. Why would I encourage you to do it? Why would you do that? It's because something inside of you, in your heart, you've realized, you know what? That's eternal things. That's eternal things. Some of you, you go and you get ready to buy something, and you don't have to have it, but it'd be nice to have, and you've got something, and some of you have turned away from the store and said, we'll just use what we have a little longer so you can continue to invest in eternal things. You know why? Because you want to have a profitable eternity. There's nothing wrong with that. And let me just make clear real quickly. It's faith in Jesus and Him alone that determines your eternal destiny. So you don't earn your way to heaven. But it is service, investment, love, giving for Jesus that determines your eternal rewards. And you want both. You want an eternal destiny that's secured completely by Jesus. You want an eternal reward that depends heavily upon your love. You know, one of the reasons the Bible tells us to get together and be here on a Sunday night? Why? So we can provoke each other to love and good works. When we come to church, we don't just come to sit, soak, and listen. We come to exhort. When you walk in those doors and you get out of your car, you ought to come in with the express purpose, who can I be a blessing to? Who can I see? Listen, when you pop in real late, you're and not being kind to anyone, but you're popping in, you're just like, it doesn't matter. It does matter. You might want to find your way, get here a little earlier so you can be a blessing to someone. We don't want you talking during church, but you can talk to someone before church. I saw five people this morning sitting by themselves in the services, and maybe they want to sit there, but of the five, four of them have been only sitting there for maybe about 4 or 5 weeks, and they just keep coming back. And I wish to goodness, I'm only one person who can sit up here, and I can see things a little different than you, but I wish somebody would get out of their comfort zone and go over and make sure you know that person's name, and that precious lady over here, and this couple over here, and that man over there, and get out of your comfort zone and find out what their name is. And sit with them, or have them sit with you. Connect with them. Was so blessed today, met one of our men, and there's a precious family. They've been coming. They want to sit toward the front of the building. And they came, and so they've been coming the last several weeks. But one of our couples have notified them and said, you know what, I know who they are. And last week, on the way out, they brought them a gift, or gave them cash to go out and get something to eat together. I thought to myself, praise the Lord, I've been to their home. It was what the Lord did to bring them. I'm so glad God brought them. And now we find other people partnering. You know what that is? That's L-O-V-E. That's love. And this church ought to be full of it. And I think it is. It's a great church. But there is also room for improvement. There's room when we need to figure this out. And by the way, if you want to have a personal impact in the lives of people, you want to have some personal significance, you want to have eternal rewards, you might want to get your head around what it means to love. Because it is there. It's what's on the table. When you get judged by God, He's not going to judge your sin if you're saved. How many are saved tonight and you're thankful for it? Good, wonderful. So aren't you glad God's not going to go with the, give me the books on John Wilkerson. Let's read all the bad things he's done and let's see how he's going to pay for it eternally in the lake of fire. That's not going to happen for me. I deserve it. But He's not pulling out my sin. Do you know what He is pulling out? He's pulling out my works, my service, my love. Love and good works. Those are the two things on the table. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't really matter what. Motives don't matter. You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. What you do and why you do it, they go together. And we're here together to provoke each other to love God and others more and do more for God and others. How do we do that? And the Apostle Paul told this carnal church, and I can be carnal sometimes and you can be carnal. He says, look here, Get your bell rung on this. And we're not going to go through each of the thoughts tonight, but it would be a good idea for us to consider later. But let me just quickly give you this quick thought. It's more information than I think in the end. I'm not sure that anybody want to come and do anything with the Lord in response, but I think it would be maybe helpful. Love. L-O-V-E. Can we do it in sign language? L-O-V-E. One more time. L. If you're a real idiot, just go like this. I'm a loser. Okay, like that. I'm just joking. Love. L-O-V-E. L. Number one. L listens. Love listens. Excuse me. Love listens. The first way you can best love everyone in your sphere of influence is to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him. There's no one that knows more about love than the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So the best way you can learn to love is to listen to the Spirit of God, the prompting of the Spirit. Let me ask you something. Is the Spirit of God talking to you? He should be. He is. Are we listening? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit of God? He'll tell us to give when we really don't want to give. We want to keep. He'll tell us to witness to someone when we really don't want to. He'll tell us to apologize when we don't really want to apologize. Listening to the Holy Spirit is a good way to love. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He can help us to love. The Spirit knows the mind of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, number one, listen to the Holy Spirit and respond to Him. If He prompts you to do something, obey every spiritual impulse the Spirit of God tells you to do. Number two, the way we can love is to learn to listen to someone's name and try to learn their names. So, Pastor, that's easy for you. You know how to do that, you know, and it's... And I may have a better than average memory. I don't have a photographic memory. If I do, it's never been developed. I know that for sure. But you know, the truth of the matter is, 3,280 times they tell me in the Bible a name is mentioned, a different name. If you're going to write one book to mankind, would you write that many names in there? Onesiphorus. Aren't you glad your mother didn't name you that? All the different names. Do you know why God would put that many names in the Bible? Because God loves people more than anything. Paul, in his 13 letters, mentions 80 different people. And God lets those names be in the Holy Scriptures. One of the Ten Commandments, one of those Ten Commandments has to do with the name of God. Names are important. And I can't expect you to learn all the names of everybody. But you know, truth matters, who is it you could learn their names? You could learn their names. You could say, God, I want to learn some people's names. Oh, brother, sister, hermano, hermana. Well, I don't know anybody. I can always remember a face. You really can't test that very good. But the truth of the matter is, names are important. And it's a way that you can express love. To get to know, when a person comes and he's sitting by himself in our services for several weeks, you don't know their name and they're sitting within an eye view of you, you ought to love them enough to go learn their name. Meet them and greet them. Write down on your bulletin their name and pray for them. We're talking about love. Number one, love listens. Listens to the Holy Spirit and responds to Him and obeys Him. Number two, listen to people's names and learn them. Listen to people's problems and help them. I don't really like listening to people's problems. I got my own problems. You want to listen to mine? Brother Rick Martin, one of the most successful servants of Christ in our generation, in my opinion. He said the number one way to reach an adult with the gospel is to find out their greatest need and try to help them. What do you think the person you're trying to reach, what is their greatest need? What do they need? You may not be able to. Maybe all you can do is pray for them. You might be able just to maybe they need $10,000, but you could give them $10. You could try to help them in their need. They've got a wayward son, or they've got a situation. They need their fence propped up, or there's something they need, and you could help them. There's very few things that open the heart of someone like if they have a need and somebody helps them. Listen to people's hurts and try to help them. This is a great way to demonstrate love. L, listen to the Holy Spirit and respond to Him in a positive way. God's talking. We need to listen. And He'll talk to you tonight. Some of you will have a chance to love someone this evening. They may live in your own house. They may be when you stop and get fuel on the way home, or maybe at the restaurant. Maybe someone's sitting in their car when you're walking to your place tonight. I remember a couple weeks ago, and just a sweet testimony, just blesses my heart. But a guy was sitting on a curb, and I was coming. It was a long day. But I remember the Lord prompted my heart. I didn't think of myself, but to give him a track. I gave him a track. I said, "Hey, bud, can I give this track? It tells you about Jesus Christ, how you can know you have eternal life with God." And I was intending just to keep on going by. And he took that track, and he went, "I can't believe this. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks." And you know, in just a few minutes, about 40 minutes later, I heard Tyler ask the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and save him. But you know, there was a little bit of time there before I could talk to him. I had to learn a little bit about his hurts, about his dad who left his mom, and his mom had been raising himself, and his brother who is developmentally disabled, who was there back and forth. And I would open my Bible and share with Tyler. He would say, "Hey, what is that book? Can I have the book? Can I have the book? Can I have the book?" And I said, no, let me just show it to your brother." Then he told his brother, he said, "Don't, buddy, let me listen to this, Dallas. I'm listening to this right here. Where's your car? Where's your car? Where's your car? Over there, that's your car? Oh, nice car, nice car." He said, "Buddy, let him tell me what the Bible said." Okay. He left. But you know, that boy was going through, he had two boys, 11 and 9, that he didn't get to spend a lot of time with. He had a lot of hurt. He was broken. His family's broken. He's helping, living with his brother and helping his mom. He was telling me some things about his mom that were disappointing. And some of the stuff that working with Wicca and mediums and all this stuff. But you know, after I listened to his hurt, he was ready to listen to God's word. And if people don't trust you, they don't trust what you tell them. So number one, L, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to people's names and try to learn something. Just try to do your best in your situation. Listen to their hurts and try to help them. And then last thing I'll give you tonight is listen to their children and try to love them and help them. There's always some special bond when you help someone's child. How many would agree with that? And oftentimes kids, it's just like, get away from me, kid. You're on my nerves. Boy, when we get to love a child, and obviously in this day and time, we have to elevate our behavior for so many reasons, for integrity, for sincerity, for purity, but also for perspective of the world. I'm so grateful we run buses, aren't you? I'm so glad we care about kids. So glad there's Sunday school classes and puppet ministries and nursery workers. So glad there's beginner one and beginner two and primary one, primary two, and junior three and four and five. All those kids, some of those kids come in with the most horrible stories, horrible backgrounds. But love kids. Listen to their children and try to help their children. We'll continue this series maybe another time. But when we decide, God, would you help me to learn how to love at least with the listening part? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to people's names. Listen to people's hurts. Listen to people's children. And ask to help meet a need. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are so selfie motivated. How does it affect me? Everything I do, I have to say, you know, how is it going to affect me? I mean, I was planning to do this, but now I got to do this. I was planning to do this. Oh, I wanted this. And it's all about me. And the Bible says, don't look at your own things, John. Look at the needs of others. So, well, I'm an introvert. I don't light up a room. I don't like doing that. You know what? You ought to do whatever God wants you to do. We ought to get over ourselves. Walk in this place and walk anywhere you want and say, God, please help me to be a blessing. Help me know what I can do to encourage someone in my sphere of influence. We're talking about making an impact. We're talking about personal significance. We're talking about eternal rewards. And I don't think you can find a better way to do that than to figure out, how am I supposed to love genuinely? Let's pray together, can we?